I'm by winning. I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll. That's how I roll. I'm just winning. I blinked and I cured my brain. I have one speed, one gear. Go. Oh, shut up. Shut up. Stop.
Welcome to The Shade. I'm Cobain, and this is the podcast about Valen for Valen. Oh man, guys, am I pumped. The first episode of the series was a big hit with you listeners, and it got over 250 views in the past 5 days, which is outstanding for an unknown podcaster such as myself. You've literally taken me national, and my voice was heard all the way across the country from the East Coast to Hawaii. And shouts out to my Canadian listeners, too. Keep giving me that positive feedback, guys, because your positivity is my fuel. Today's guest is Malky, Outlandish's raid leader. And in this last segment of the show, I'm going to go over how to apply to Progression Guild and get accepted. With that said,
let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? In the news, Justin Bieber visited New York City's Macy's store last week to kick off his new fragrance called Someday. Apparently, it's a fragrance and not a cologne because that would just be too gender-specific for a product with the Biebs name on it. But I digress. It was a publicized event that attracted every girl under the age of 18 in the city to crowd the streets around the building for blocks just to get a glimpse of Justin when he was to make his public appearance after kicking off sales of his fragrance. But when he exited the building, he was in for a nasty surprise and got tackled and put on the ground by one of the security guards in plainclothes outside on crowd control duty. The rest of the police force around the Biebs quickly got the guard off him and rushed Justin inside. The guard was later charged with disorderly conduct. Now, there's a YouTube video of the incident, and from the clip, I personally think the security guard was the only one doing his job. He was put on crowd control duty, and then it was clear that the source of crowd agitation was the Biebs. And if you guys listening to this show are honest with yourselves, you know you are all secretly thinking, that guard is my hero. Because let's be honest, folks, the Biebs is out there ruining a whole generation of young girls by imprinting his gender-obscured look onto them as the ideal man. No longer leaving room for the average couch potato, gamer, jock, nerd, goth, punk, and others to inject their unique, musky masculinity into the hearts and desires of this generation of future legal beauties. In my opinion, I think this guard should be renamed the Hero of New York for his courageous actions to protect the feminine youth in America. He's an in-tune man with his eye on the real threat, Justin Bieber. Quite possibly the tool of an insidious extraterrestrial plot to take over mankind by autocidal control. That's right, you heard it in The Shade first. Disrupting the breeding process of humanity by injecting the Bieber image of the sexually sterile man as the feminine ideal for a partner. So bravo, Mr. Security Guard. For at least a few minutes, you quieted an out-of-control Bieber fever situation that sounded more like Cloverfield than any of us care to admit. Oh my god, Firelands Tuesday! Firelands Tuesday! The race is on for server rankings again, and this time it's a hot contest. Who will be the first to down Ragnaros? How long will it take for a server first heroic Ragnaros kill? Only time will tell. Completing the tier on normal mode will reward players with another dark purple fiery bird. Let's just hope that they actually make the graphic better looking than the current Dark Phoenix flop. And we will soon know how the fragment drops for the legendary will be handled. Will it be Master Looterable after all, or will everyone on the quest be able to pick up Eternal Ember fragments? MMO Champion has a really handy patch compendium up on their front page. Be sure to check it out for details. And buyers beware, with any new content tier, auction house prices will skyrocket since everyone will be getting new gear. Be sure to stock up on consumable essentials while they are still cheap. Gems, leg armor, enchant mats, flasks, potions, belt buckles, scopes, and feast food will all be in high demand. New craftable items will be released as well. Important mats to look for are volatile fires, waters, lifes, pristine hides, elementium ore, bars, hardened elementium, and true gold. And on a final note, grats to 3-Day Band for their server-first Cho'Gall heroic kill. They've got the first shot at Sinestra. Good luck.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam, gleam in the hell with the price, cause the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the thing. When you hit the bricks, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Come on. Yeah, I wanna floss with us. Come on. All across the board, we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up. Slacking on your pimpin', turn it up. See the money ain't a thing.
It's time for the Valenite Spotlight section again, and today we've got a special guest, Malky, who is the raid leader of Outlandish. Thank you for coming on the show, Malky. It's a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me, and good job on the first episode.
To start off, I'm wondering if you could give us an abridged history of your experience in Warcraft so far.
Sure. I was basically a Burning Crusade baby, but I rolled here on Valen. Not long after the launch of Burning Crusade, leveled up. When Wrath came around, I joined a Naxx guild, and for a short time I had my own guild in Uldor. And just after that I joined Redirection, and about 5 to 6 of us from Redirection came over to Outlandish when they reformed, just right at the end of Uldor, beginning of TOC.
So maybe you can elaborate a little bit on Outlandish itself. A common rumor about Outlandish Hordeside is that the guild is a reform of the original Veritas core. Is there any truth to that?
There's some. Basically, original Outlandish rolled right at the beginning of Velen and was a 10-man Karazhan guild, and they didn't have the numbers to get into 25. So they merged with Honor's Wrath and continue raiding under the name Honor's Wrath back in BC. Later on, sort of into Tier 6, beginning of Sunwell, I think a lot of the core members of Honor's Wrath transferred off-server to look for a harder core raiding experience. And a bunch of them went off and did that and kind of got burned out doing that and decided to reform back on Velen under the name Outlandish. And this was right at the end of Uldor. And of the three or four founder members back then, one of them was Kaffi Melatonin, who was one of the core members of Veritas, as I understand it, and he brought a few of the Veritas guys over with him, I think Pelot and Calarose, and PK was in here for a little while, a bit later on, but he went back to Veritas.
In the last episode of Shade, I left an open question for Outlandish. On May 22nd, you guys knocked off Heroic Alakir 10, but you're a 25-man guild. Was that kill a result of poor attendance?
Well, our 25-man core raids 9 hours a week, and we're fairly strict about that. So we do 3 days, 3 hours a day. But we've always had a kind of core of raiders who want to do a bit more than that. And in BC, in Wrath, that core was doing things like pushing 10-man heroics in their off time. This raid setup that we have now makes that a little bit more challenging, in that once we lock ourselves into a 25-man heroic, BWD or BOT, we can't continue those instances in 10-man that week. Whereas we weren't bothering to clear 25-man throwing 4 wins, so that was open for the guys that wanted to do a bit more to do that, as I think you mentioned in the first episode, a side project.
As a raid leader, how do you find the new lockout system?
Well, it has some advantages in that you don't feel this pressure to do the same instance twice every week, or 4 times every week as it was in TOC. But it definitely hinders you from setting a 10-man group doing more progression than the 25-man group wants, like we were doing in ICC. So pros and cons, but mostly I'm not a huge fan. And we've had several problems with bugs preventing us from continuing heroics in a week. We've had people locked out who weren't supposed to be locked.
So has there been any fallout from the raiders that weren't in attendance for the Alakir 10 kill since you're a 25-man guild?
Not really. It was purely optional. It was done on off nights, and a lot of our 25-man raiders, myself included, aren't easily able to raid on off night. So those that wanted to be there were mostly there, and those that weren't that keen to do it weren't there anymore. I think there's been a couple of raiders who were in for a lot of the attempts and weren't in for the kill who would have liked to have been, but they're pretty understanding about it.
Have you been able to go back and repeat it for other members that didn't get the initial achievement?
It's been tough to get people to come back on off nights to do it again. And there's a couple of people who were in for a lot of the attempts that really deserve to get it that haven't been able to do it so far. With Firelands coming up and the end of the tier, people are a little more reluctant to raid on off nights at the moment.
So you've been very successful in tier 11 so far, and in fact you're the top progression guild on the server, and grats on that. It's a very challenging feat to accomplish. We've been trying to overcome you so far, but with no success. You're still two ahead of us. But has that resulted in tangible recruitment benefits for you?
Very much so. A lot of our recruiting comes from off-server, and having a reasonable ranking in terms of number of heroic bosses killed is pretty important for attracting quality applicants. We fell behind for a few weeks, and we did have some attendance issues and some burnout. And we really found that made it tougher to recruit replacements when we desperately needed. Having a high ranking on the server definitely helps recruit.
Do you actively go off server to attempt to recruit, such as via forums or even privately contacting people off server?
We do actively recruit, both in the guild recruitment forums, the MMO champion forums, I believe, and in some other places where you can advertise cross-route. And we are fairly active in bumping those recruitment threads when we're in need of people.
Let's talk about a little more about applications. What are some common mistakes that you see when reviewing applicants?
Well, not answering all the questions is a big one. Not posting logs is huge. We have a catch question in our application, which just shows whether or not they've read through the application process, which just basically says include this catchphrase somewhere in your application. And you'd be surprised how many people don't do that. So it's kind of a can you follow an instructions test. A lot of it comes down to not paying proper attention to your tune, so having stuff unenchanted, not reforged properly, and not understanding what stat priorities are for your class. Those are all things that we look at. We typically will interview people before we bring them over on Mumble or Vent, and we'll ask them about what add-ons they use and what their UI is.
Given all that, what makes an applicant stand out for you guys? What kind of app just says, yes, we want that guy right now?
Well, the basics have to be there. They have to demonstrate, even just through their armory profile, that they understand their class. So we'll typically have someone who plays that class in the guild look over their armory and say, yes, this person knows what they're doing. That's kind of the basic. And we ask a lot of personality type questions. We're a fairly tight-knit guild. At BlizzCon last year, 21 of us, I think, turned up, and we all shared a big house and had a good laugh. So getting on well with our guildmates is important. So we do ask personality type questions, and some of them stand out from that point of view, and some of them stand out in a negative way.
That's pretty interesting that you guys are getting together at BlizzCon. Do you want to maybe flesh that out a little more? Is that something you do every year, or was that just a one-year thing?
Last year was the first year, but we are trying to do it every year. We're not actually going to go to BlizzCon this year, but we are going to meet at the time that BlizzCon's on, but we're going to go to Vegas.
When you go to Vegas instead of BlizzCon, are you going to film it and make it a new movie called The Outlandish Hangover?
We absolutely should. We actually ran a webcam from the Outlandish house for a short period at BlizzCon last year, but we had technical issues with that. Plus, our main tank face was showing his ass too much. So.
Well, how does your roster look going into Firelands? Are there any gaping holes you'd like to see filled before Tuesday?
Probably our only main hole is a rogue. We were only carrying one, and he's not raiding with us now, so we had one of our other guys main switch to rogue, but that's probably our biggest need right now.
All right. So all those Rogues Alliance side listening to the podcast, what's Outlandish's website?
Sure, it's outlandish.dkpsystem.com.
All right, fantastic, Malky. Thank you so much for coming on Shade's second podcast episode, and I look forward to making you guys work for future server burst kills.
No problem. Thanks for having us. And yeah, we always welcome competition.
Since the first podcast, Shade of Eros has gotten a surge of applications. It's both an exciting and disappointing event. We're overjoyed people are taking an interest in the guild, but the quality of applications has been dismal at best, so today's topic will be how to apply to a progression guild and get accepted. First, let's clear up one point. Why is an application for a gaming guild necessary? A guild is a social club like any other social club in life, and the club is selective of its members and have basic requirements for membership. The application process helps determine if you fit these requirements. If you look at real-life examples, such as the Rotary Club, it requires you to be in business or in a profession. Freemasons accept men who believe in God. And the Girl Scouts require you to be female between 7 and 18 years old. People don't fit every situation and must be screened. Warcraft guilds are no different and have conflicting goals. Some are social guilds, some are PvP-oriented. Some are casual raider guilds, others are hardcore, and furthermore, some are leveling guilds. Progression guilds, like Shade of Eros, be they hardcore or casual, expect their members to be experienced raiders, driven, intelligent, and reliable. We don't know you, so your job is to prove to us that you have these things in your application. So let's cover the basics of an application first. First off, you need to answer every question. Don't lie. Be truthful on your application and don't try to put things you think we want to hear on it. One example I had recently was one person tried to answer the question, what tools do you plan your character with the response, elitist jerk spreadsheets. Now that might be a good answer, but the spec they were applying as has no elitist jerk spreadsheets, so it was clearly a lie and they were just telling us what they thought we wanted to hear. If the application requires a screenshot of your user interface and you don't know how to upload one from the forums, figure it out yourself. Asking the officers of the guild you are applying to how to post your screenshot only indicates to the recruiter that you aren't computer savvy and don't research things. Instead, you're conveying that you want to be unthinkingly told how to do light to moderate tasks, and that doesn't bode well for raid bosses. Read the application's questions, because sometimes guilds put in sleeper questions in their application templates. These questions are designed to see if you actually read the stuff. If you fail to recognize this question, guilds will deny you without finishing reading the application, because you didn't read the application. When you log out of the game after submitting an application, be in the gear and spec for the specialty you're applying for. Very basic stuff, guys. The advanced stuff, a little more complicated, obviously. But let's go over them anyway. If the application asks you to list add-ons you use, emphasizing recount, or if that's the only add-on that you do use is a quick way to denial. Recount is a very useful tool, but there are more powerful and advanced add-ons than that. And if you have them, they'll tell us that you've put more thought into the game than how big you crit and what the best pet for DPS is. Boss mods are basic, but interface alteration add-ons such as dominoes, voodoo, and shadowed unit frames can fundamentally improve your ability to play the game. The most advanced intelling add-on to have is power auras. Your character should be fully gemmed, glyphed, and enchanted with the best stuff before you submit an application. This is a common mistake that I see all the time in apps. Never apply to a guild with unenchanted, ungemmed, unglyphed, or unreforged gear. Instant rejection. And make sure you guys have professions and they're leveled to their Cataclysm profession bonus, another thing that is a telling sign that you don't put enough time into your character, and why should we put time into you? Know what bosses the guild can down and which ones they're working on, and already have an understanding of how to do any fight they may have you join in on if you're accepted as a trial, even if you haven't had personal experience on it yet. And please, don't be a spell clicker. Have your spells intelligently keybound so they're easily usable, and make sure that it's reflected in your screenshots if one is required. And once you've been accepted to trial, show up. If you can't make a day for some reason, you must communicate to an officer why and when you can't make it. This is essential because a trial period is where the guild gets to know your personality and see if you have the stamina to raid that they want to see in an application. If you don't show, they can't evaluate you. Come prepared and know the basics of the fights, and have all the needed consumables such as potions, flasks, and food depending on what your guild will and will not provide. So now that you've been filled in on what you need to do to get accepted to your favorite raid guild, go out there and apply. Shade of Arrows is still accepting applications for quality mages, rogues, resto shamans, resto druids, enhanced shamans, prop paladins, priests, warlocks, and DPS warriors with prod off specs. We don't need every spec of that, but we can work any of those specs into our raid composition. I hope you all enjoyed this episode, In the Shade, and leave your comments and suggestions for the next show on my guild's forums. Special shout-outs to my guild Shade of Arrows, Outlandish, Malcolm, and to Roxy for getting grilled late at night on trade chat trolling. Till next time, play well.